This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, a minute here from my good friend Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. Man, it's been 4 years. 4 years since I've had a sinus infection after I used to get them every other month for over 20 years. You know what a relief it is to not have to have a sinus infection? Period. Just not have to have them. Especially down here with all, you know, all the, I mean, every time I turn on my laptop, I get air pollution warning. To not have to have sinus issues, oh, I love it. I feel better, I breathe better, I sleep better. It's all because of Dr. Ben. He was the only doctor that I'd seen in nearly 20 years that wanted to find out why I would keep getting these sinus infections instead of, yep, here's another Z-Pak, see you in a month. Turned out I had a staph infection that was highly resistant to antibiotics. They had to surgically remove it. The amount of damage it did to my sinuses were like completely closed. Dead tissue, damaged tissue. They did a balloon sinuplasty. They fixed all of that. Opened up my sinuses, opened up my airways. I breathe easier and clearer than I have since I'm in college. Turned out I had a deviated septum. Didn't even know I had one. Well, they fixed that too. And now not only do I not have sinus issues, I don't snore anymore because my airways are open. So when I go to bed, I wake up, I actually feel better instead of more tired than when I went to bed. If you're a bad snorer, if you have sleep apnea, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When I say you wake up and you feel rested, because when you're a bad snorer, you have sleep apnea, you wake up, you feel more tired when you wake up than when you went to bed because all you did was toss, turn, roll over, yeah, kick, start, stop breathing, start breathing, roll over again, can't breathe, pressure, shift, roll over. I mean, that life sucks. You don't have to live it. All you got to do, take out your phone, put in this number, 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Go see my man, Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben's going to take care of you. He's going to do for you what he did for me, what he's done for dozens of late hitters, what he's done for thousands of people in the greater Houston area. He's going to help you break the cycle and breathe so that you can be just like me, feeling better, breathing better, sleeping better. No more sinus issues, no more snoring. You don't have to deal with any of that anymore. 346-413-9313, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. All right, hour two, late hits, hour two of AMA Friday. Whatever it is you want to ask, you got 56 minutes. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the Trump Hill listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1, at IMJChevy. My man Josh Evans on the other side of the glass. This is your last chance to talk Houston sports this week. Last chance. Get him in. Just got a text from a random number that I don't know. Hi, John. I'm Colleen. I just got off the plane and came back to the office. Do you have time to stop by? I ran it through a reverse lookup. It's a Google Voice number. Because when you run a number that's a cell number and it comes up as a landline, that means it's mobile IP. So it's almost always a Google Voice number. John and Colleen apparently are trying to do some secret dirty.
This is very interesting. My mother's name is Colleen.
Uh-oh. Did she just get back to town off the plane?
Not to my knowledge. I thought I saw her this morning.
All right. Well, then we know it's not that Colleen. Your mom is still a good woman. There will be no besmirching the mother of Josh Evans.
Thank God.
Yeah, just random texto number. Colleen and John looking to hoe it up. Although maybe John doesn't want to hoe it up since clearly he gave Colleen the wrong phone number. Colleen looking to hoe it up. Anybody want Colleen's phone number? If you want Colleen's phone number, just get on the Twitch chat. We'll give you Colleen's phone number and you can try to hook up with Colleen because, you know, she's in the office right now. She wants you to stop by. Yeah, you can get on top of the copy machine and do it 80s style. Run copies of your butt while you're getting it done. Don't even have to pretend you're drunk at the Christmas party. You can just do it now. Nobody's there, right? Taking a look as, you know, the Astros taking on the last Athletics tonight in Joplin. You know, something I was talking about with Joel yesterday on the Bees is, you know, J.P. France and Brandon Bielak, look, they've done a pretty decent job holding down the fort for the last couple of weeks. But the reality is the updated timeline on Lance McCullers, you guys remember about 2 weeks ago, I said, yeah, we haven't heard anything about Lance McCullers. It went from, you know, mid-April to May to late May to June. I said, don't worry, it'll be the All-Star break in about 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. Guess what? Dana Brown said All-Star break. That train is never late. And, you know, Lance threw a 37-pitch bullpen session, and then he was throwing off flat ground. But his timeline is still the All-Star break. Jose Urquidy is not yet throwing, and his timeline is the All-Star break. That feels like that timeline is going to get pushed back. So Garcia's out for the year. Lance McCullers Jr. timeline keeps getting pushed back, and Urquidy's timeline does not seem reasonable. They probably need to get an arm. And, you know, like Joel, I'm fine with them keeping J.P. France as the fifth starter. Until he shows that he can't handle it, I'm okay with J.P. France being the fifth starter. Brandon Bielak's not a long-term answer as a starting pitcher. Brandon Bielak give you everything he's got, but he doesn't have great stuff. J.P. France got some stuff. J.P. France can miss bats. Brandon Bielak, like I said, he gives you his best. It's just he's kind of a mediocre pitcher. He's a bullpen guy who can give you a couple of innings, make you some spot starts. Sometimes he'll give you a really good effort. He gave you a good effort the other day. Give 2 runs in 6 innings. You know, a little strange that Dusty left him out there for the seventh, but he gave 2 runs in 6 innings before he gave 2 more runs in the seventh on a pair of solo homers. But he was, I mean, look, seventh inning, he's in waters that's way too deep for him. I can't blame him for that. So I think Bielak has done a solid job holding it down. But he can't hold it down for the whole season. They're going to have to make a move. One of the guys that I had brought up, you know, about a month ago on, you know, guys that you could look at potential trade targets, one of them was Lance Lynn. And Lance Lynn was a guy who pitched in the WBC and was kind of having the same issues that Christian Javier was having with the dead arm and the little loss of the miles per hour and whatnot. Well, you've seen Christian Javier bounce back. And you know what? We're seeing Lance Lynn bounce back. Today, Lance Lynn pitching in Detroit against the Tigers. Tigers are only 2 under, and they're actually a game over at home. The Tigers have been, you know, league average. Lance Lynn, 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 5 punch-outs. A little nervous with the 5 walks, but that's very uncharacteristic of him. But overall, 8 base runners in 6 innings is still not a lot of base runners. Only allowed 1 run. Lowered his ERA down to 5.83. He got off to such a hideous start. His first start of the year was against the Astros, and he pitched like normal. But his very next start, his velocity was down like 3 miles an hour. And it stayed down for about a month. But his last 3 starts, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, no walks, 7 Ks against the Guardians. 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 6 punch-outs against the Kansas City Royals, won both of those games. And he is in line tonight for the victory. Six innings, 1 run. and 5 punch-outs. So Lancelin about to win his 3rd straight game. Looks like he's riding the ship. If, you know, if you look at the recent trend as opposed to the dead arm period, you see, hey, am I getting the Lancelin that I know and expect? Can I get him at a discount? Because, A, he makes $19 million. The White Sox are, if they win tonight, they'll be 9 under. But they're in a world of hurt. There is a lot of speculation that the White Sox are just going to tear it all down. Tim Anderson is now on the block. If Tim Anderson's on the block, Lance Lynn's probably available. He's got a $19 million option for next year. It's a team option that you could buy out for $1 million. So if you decide you don't want to pay him for next year, easy wash. On the other hand, we've got to consider a couple of things here. 2 years ago, Jose Urquidy missed half the season with a pair of IL stints for shoulder inflammation. Last year, Urquidy was very up and down, and at the end of the year, the Astros took the ball out of his hands and banished him to the pen and said, "Don't even look at us." This season, he pitched the worst he's ever pitched in his life. And he's back on the IL with shoulder inflammation. It sounds like there is a surgery in his future. This is the second straight year that Lance McCullers Jr. isn't going to pitch until at least July for setbacks that happened in January, February on his, quote, forearm. And we know a lot of times forearm is code for UCL. He's already had Tommy John surgery, came back, pitched well, and then wound up missing 4 months the next season. Now he's going to miss 4 months. That's not normal. And the Astros keep saying there's no structural damage. Something doesn't add up. You don't keep missing two-thirds of the season because there's no structural damage. Something's going on in there, and they're trying to keep it quiet. Par for the course with the Astros. But I am very concerned there is another surgery in Lance McCullers Jr.'s future because you don't miss 4 months, 2 straight years, and yeah, I'm fine. You don't. And when you see how, like, you think about how hard Lance throws and the amount of curveballs that he throws, you see, if you watch his motion, like, on slow-mo, and you see the inverted torque on his elbow, this is pretty much every pitcher. Pitchers that throw curves and sliders, when you see how their arms bend in slow motion, like, it looks like that their arm just turned to rubber because you're like, how the hell does that? You keep doing that, and you're always missing time, it's a matter of time. And having a guy like Lance Lynn, let's say for one more year, as insurance over, am I going to lose McCullers for next season? Am I going to lose Urquidy for next season? I'm already down Garcia for this year. Garcia's probably going to miss half of next season. That kind of buy low candidate right now, he's had 3 good starts in a row, but he's still a buy low candidate. I'd be making that call on Lance Lynn. I probably don't have to give up a whole lot because he makes a lot of money. His numbers are eh. I'd be making that call because last season the Astros were very fortunate in that their starters were overwhelmingly healthy. This year is not the case. They're down 3 starters. No team in baseball can handle being down 3 starters for a long period of time. Nobody, not even the Astros. And for those of you who didn't notice, Forrest Whitley now heading to the injured list with a shoulder issue. He missed a start earlier this month with the same shoulder issue. This kid can't catch a break. He can't stay healthy. J.P. France and Brandon Bielak are already here. Sean Dubin's had some issues, health issues and performance issues. They don't really have another arm to go to. At this point, they have to go to bringing in somebody from outside the organization. There's a couple different guys we can take a look at. Some that I've mentioned previously. We'll take a peek at maybe some options for your Houston Astros. Next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, Josh, how familiar are you with this song?
Not that familiar. I'll be honest there.
It's one of the hallmark songs of Led Zeppelin. Obviously, the song is older than you, but I'm going to make it worse. The song's older than me. But one of the classic Led Zeppelin riffs. Now, I don't know if... You a Beastie Boys fan?
Yes.
Okay, so... Pull up the Beastie Boys. I want to say it's She's Crafty. I think that's the right one. Is She's Crafty. And let me know when you have it. Because I want you to hear that. The beat on that song. I don't think there's any bad words early in the song, so you don't have to worry about anything like that.
Rule number one as a producer, you got to search the name of the song with the word at the end being clean.
Yeah, I don't think there's any bad words early in that song, so it's safe for you to just play the beginning of it.
Oh, I got it. And I'm... Like, I just only heard 2 seconds of it. It's the entire same rhythm beat, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they sample the beat from The Ocean. So the Led Zeppelin song is called The Ocean. She's Crafty is the exact same beat. Play it so everybody can hear it. Let the intro run for a bit, but yeah, you'll hear the bam 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 in there. There you go. Man, I remember when that album first came out. I think I was in like 7th grade. And we were all crazy Beastie Boys heads because, you know, they're from Brooklyn. So we were all, you know, into Run DMC and the Beastie Boys. But me growing up on classic rock, I recognized the riff. So I would play the two for my friends. Like, are they allowed to do that? I'm like, I don't know. They did it.
Probably made no money from it.
But oh, no. It wasn't a single. They didn't release it as a single. But that's sampling they could do. I never understood the difference between... Like sampling and then whatever the hell the producers did for Vanilla Ice that, you know, basically got him shamed into nothing. Like, why was it different for him? I don't see any difference to what they did. But he had a terrible, terrible record label that gave him a fake identity. It was the whole thing. He's a rich white kid. Yeah, no, he's from the mean streets. Yeah, no, he's not. People are asking him about stuff. And he's like, what are you talking about? Well, it says here on the jacket. I'm like, he says what? Yeah. Some of the old interviews from Vanilla Ice are hilarious because they're asking him things that are on the jacket of the label. And the record label just made stuff up. And he didn't even know. They just made stuff up. And you could see the look on his face of bewilderment like, what? Like, he just had no clue. And sometimes, like, look, like, my reaction back then, obviously, because I was a senior in high school, was, look at this dumbass. But now you look back at that, like, man, I feel, now that we know how dirty he got did by his label, now you're like, man, I feel for that kid. That kid got used, chewed up, and spit out. Then he became like a world champ in motocross. Like dirt bike motocross racing. He became like a world champion in that.
You serious?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's actually had a pretty good like second life. This is my second life. I mean, I worked in real estate and finances for 20-something years. And when the market crashed in 08, couldn't get a job. Got back into radio. You know, I had left radio in like 1996. And I was working both. I was doing finances and real estate and working in radio because radio is fun, but radio didn't pay the bills. And then as business just got so good, I was like, well, I don't have time to do radio anymore. I got money to make. But, you know, when everything went to hell and banks were going out of business faster than you could breathe, there were no jobs. And the jobs that were available, like, well, we'll pay you commission only. Well, that's great. But if you don't fund any loans, I don't make any commission. You guys haven't funded a loan in 6 months. One of the things the federal government did not realize when they did the bank bailout, you can give the banks money, but you can't make them lend. Oops. They didn't think about that far. They thought, well, if we give them money, they'll lend again. Wrong. They'll use it to stack their frickin' bottom line and raise their stock price. They're not lending. So that was, I mean, if the bank's not, I worked for SunTrust Bank for a while. I think I worked for SunTrust Bank for like 8 months. I brought in, I don't know, 230 loans. They didn't close any. They closed nothing. It's like probably like 2011. They would not close a thing. And that was with like a 17-day turn time to find out they were going to decline the loan. Didn't matter how perfect it was. They always found a reason to decline a loan. If there was no reason to decline a loan, they'd kill the appraisal. Well, I know your appraisal says it's worth $400,000, but we say it's only worth $285,000. It's a brand new friggin' house with 10 comps on the same block for $400,000. No. We got to look at this other comp that's 3.5 miles away and was built 75 years ago. I'm like, that is literally the opposite of every appraisal rule that's ever existed. Yeah. You can't make banks lend.
I do have a radio question for you, though.
Okay.
If you have to compare yourself in radio back then to now, how would you critique yourself?
Well, I was an a-hole back then. I mean, if you think I'm an a-hole now, I mean, night and day. Like, you would not have been able to, like, be in the same city with me then. I was, as a younger person, I was always angry. I was angry at the world. I had a chip on my shoulder and, you know, had a very high opinion of myself. Thought that I should be getting these opportunities. And I put in the work. First one in, last one out. But, you know, if you don't glad hand the right way, you don't make the right friends, nobody wants to work with you. And I had two different people who were very successful at radio both tell me, you're very talented, but nobody likes you. You're always ticked off. Nobody wants that energy all the time where you just come in and you're just angry about everything. You've got to learn to chill out. And That took me a long time to learn that lesson. I'm not going to lie. It took me a long time to learn that because I probably had that conversation in 1994. And in 2002, a guy who I worked for in the mortgage business who kind of became a mentor, like a big brother to me, said to me, he's like, I'm going to tell you what your biggest problem is. You ready to hear it? He said, yeah. He said, it's you. So why is it me? He said, you want everybody to work at your level and your pace, and you can't make other people work at your level and your pace. You have to accept them for who they are and what they are and make your plans around them. You can't force other people to have your work ethic, your ethics and morals, your sense of duty. You can't put that on other people. He says, once you learn that, your life will be a lot less stressful. We had that conversation because the week before, I had told him, I said, I woke up in the middle of the night. My heart was going 1,000 miles an hour. I don't know why. Just, I couldn't calm down. And my wife was like, do we need to go to the hospital? And I'm like, no, I feel fine. Just my heart's racing. It was stress. Because I didn't know how to manage other people to then manage myself. I had to learn how to make that transition to understand what people are capable of, coach them up to what I need them to do so that I can do the things that I need to do and be successful. I can't make someone else do what I do if they don't know how to do it. You could try to teach them, but not everybody can understand. When I finally learned that lesson, which probably was like 3 more years, my stress level went way down. Also, my give a bleepitude went way down. When I started learning how to let things go and not expect everyone to do the same thing and think the same way and learn to just coach people, my life got a lot easier. My stress level went way down. But when I was a younger person, I didn't know how to do that, and I was just angry all the time. Not to mention, you know, in my early 20s, I was probably in 3 fights a week because I was an idiot. Now it's just like, whatever. Now, hey, I'm going to be 50 years old in a couple of weeks, man. I ain't getting no damn fights. What the hell with that? It's late, it's.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton. Are you ready?
Hey, are you ready? 30 minutes left in the show on an AMA Friday before we hit the holiday weekend, so whatever it is you want to get to, whatever you want to talk about, now is your chance. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1, at IMJChevy. Whatever it is you want to talk about, sports, not sports, you guys, people are asking me about, you know, what did I sound like on rock radio back in the early 90s? And we're talking about how all these things that I lost when I moved down here because they were all on cassette. All my old shows were on cassette, and the cassettes melted. They melted in the move. I had like a 3,000 record collection of all vinyl, all album art. Some of this stuff was really expensive, out of print, couldn't get it anymore. They melted. All the vinyl warped out. It looked like things got put in an oven. We lost so much stuff. We moved down here from New York. So much stuff got broken, destroyed, ruined. Man, it was a trying time, man. When you're moving to a whole new city, you know, 12 states away, and a whole bunch of your stuff, you could tell, like, boxes marched fragile, were just getting thrown around, and smashed up and overpiled. And the boxes are all smashed. Everything inside them is smashed. And moving sucks. Moving sucks. In fact, when I was moving in town, there's a local company called Optimus. Those guys are phenomenal. Every other moving company I've ever used has been awful. These guys called Optimus Movers, they're here in the Houston area. I've used them in Katy a couple times. They are awesome. They come in, like, a lot of times when you hire a moving company, they, you know, you got five guys, four of them standing around doing nothing. They're trying to milk you for every hour they can get. These guys come in, there's three, four guys, they come in, they bang everything out as fast as possible, and then they go on to, like, the next job. And they'll hit, like, you know, three, four jobs in one day, boom, 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 like that. They move really fast. They take everything apart, they reassemble everything back together the right way. They put things where you want them. They were awesome. I love those guys. They're the only company I will use. By the way, you should sponsor the show. We'll talk about you every day. But no, I hate moving. I hate moving. And I know I'm probably going to wind up moving again in the next 2 years because, you know, my son's already, you know, out of college. And my daughter goes to college in 2 years. And then I'm going to have this big house that I don't need. Like, I like where I live, but I'm not going to need a house this big.
My mother and I had this conversation literally 2 days ago. She's just talking about, yeah, I'll get this house another, like, 3 years because, they're, like, they're building a school behind us. Like, bummer. But I was like, didn't we just buy this house? Like, what do you mean you're looking to move again? She's like, well, you're graduating in 2 months. I was like, you know what? That is a good point. And she's basically saying this is just going to be her and her husband. It's going to be pretty empty. So, and that's that.
Now, I'm thinking about downsizing the house, saving my money, because when my wife's ready to retire, I want to go buy a house down on the beach.
In Galveston?
No. Much further down. Like, down by, like, South Padre. And, you know, I'll just build a radio studio in the house, because that's not expensive. It's easy. I can build a radio studio in the house. I mean, I have a studio in my house right now. I connect anywhere in the world because, you know, and now internet, you can connect anywhere. But I do shows in various states around the country from time to time. I can do that. It's not a big deal. I also don't expect to be in that situation for at least another 15 years. But, like, you know, when it's time for my wife to retire, we want to go live on a beach because she loves the beach. She wants to go stick her feet in the sand. I'll go run for the ball for the dog and, you know, turn the grill on. Basically, you know, be a bum. And then, oh, okay, time to go in my studio. Everybody go away. Leave me in my studio for a couple hours while I do a radio show. And, you know, back to, you know, that's the goal. Now, let's see if I live that long. But that's the goal. Right? In a little less than a month, I'm going to turn 50. And I've been thinking about, do I want to do an event? You know, feel like a big party somewhere because I'm going to be 50 and, you know, everybody can make fun of me for being old and, like somebody had asked me the other day, how do you get, you know, your mustache to be one color and your beard to be the other color? I was like, it's easy. It's old age. No work required. But I was thinking about, you know, should I throw a party and have like a big event and get everybody to come out and eat and drink and, you know, watch baseball and talk smack and, you know, how big an event do I want to do on, you know, for like a 50th birthday type thing? That'd be a lot of fun. Maybe.
You got to go hard for the big 5-0, man.
Yeah, because I don't think I'll be able to go hard for the big 6-0. So, let's see. Flea asked, do I ever see myself going back home to New York City? Like, permanently to live there? No. And that's the crazy thing. When I first moved down here, I thought, I'll be here a year or two, go back up to New York. I was down here maybe 3 months. I was like, man, I don't want to go home. The weather's too nice. It's so much nicer down here. It's not as congested. The roads are in much better shape. Everything's kind of brand new. And like where I live out in Katy, I mean, everything's kind of new. I mean, living on Long Island, my house was built in 1969, and that was considered a new house. You know, everything's still on oil heat. You have to convert everything to gas. Everything's all new and current down here. Like, why do I want to leave? Then my family came down, and like they were all happy about it. In the first year of school, they had a snow day because they were supposed to get snow. It was like 70 degrees and sunny. They didn't have school. So I'm taking pictures, and I'm like, hey, look, it's a snow day. There's no snow. It's sunny. Like, yeah, we're never going home. We want to stay here forever. And, you know, my kids have kind of grown up down here. They've been down here more than they've been in New York. So this is home to them. My wife adopted the whole Texan thing, like, really quick. She was just like we were here 3 months. She's like, I'm a Texan now. Forget New York. I was the only one who was still... And I'm the only one who, when you hear me speak, like when I get riled up, you hear the Brooklyn come out. But you don't, with my wife, my kids, they don't sound like they're from somewhere else. They kind of sound like they're from here. Whereas, you know, I'll sound, oh, yeah, that guy's not from here. Where are you from, Yankee? You know. I got no desire to go back home where it's cold. I'm out on snow. I'm out on cold. I'm out on 60-mile-an-hour winds at 5-degree wind chills. I'm out on ice storms. I am out on family drama. Don't have to deal with any of that anymore because they're all up there and I'm way down here. I tell someone who cares. Do I miss White Castles? Yeah. You know what? When I go up to New York, I will go one day and get White Castles. But I don't get like a whole sack like I used to. I literally get like two. It's more of a just to have it. I'd rather go hit up Old American Burger in Massapequa, which is, it was an old drive-in. The drive-in theater is long gone, but the burger stand is still there. And when I left, you could still get a double cheeseburger for like $1.50. You still got shakes for $1. I mean, it was crazy. That is where you gotta hit up those kind of places. The local places that you know about that are kind of like local secrets, those are the ones I usually like to hit when I go up there. That's always the most fun. Dre, if you want to try authentic White Castle, do it the right way. Get a Crave case and then get yourself a package of Cottonelle flushable wipes and some Imodium. Do it the right way. Just tell it. I'm just, you know, when, if you're going to eat, whether you want to call them belly bombs or murder burgers, all right, if you're going to eat them, you got to be prepared for the consequences. That's how that works. The stuff you buy in the frozen food section, it's not the same. That's not the same. All right, one more segment to go. Home stretch. Late hits.
ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiologist. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, home stretch, Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. We'll take a minute here for Dr. Jennifer Joseph and Get Physical RX. You know, when I found out I was coming to Houston, I was sitting in a neurologist's office, and I was about to get recommended for neck surgery. And I said to the doctor, hey, I just got hired in Houston, and I'm going to be moving in a month and a half. So what options do we have besides surgery? And he says, well, painkillers. I'm like, all right, painkillers. Well, here's the problem. Painkillers eventually run out, but the pain doesn't. And over the years, the pain in my neck has just gotten worse and worse and worse. And it was related to a car accident that I had had. Because a woman driving her husband's S430 was doing 50 miles an hour across traffic, not realizing how fast she was going or that she blew a stop sign and across four lanes of traffic because she was painting her nails. And she was painting her nails, and she had just come out of the nail salon. T-boned me in my brand new Lexus LS430 and had me gone to the hospital and laid up for like 3 weeks. Well, over the years, the pain in my neck has gotten worse and worse, and the range of motion on my neck got worse and worse. It got to the point where, like, I couldn't turn my neck at all. Moving my neck hurt so bad, when I laid down to put my head on the pillow, it was painful. I would have issues where I couldn't lift my left arm over my shoulder. Sometimes my arm would go numb. It would go numb for days at a time. And, you know, I was literally at the point where I was, all right, I'm just going to have surgery because I don't know what else to do. And, you know, talking with a couple of doctors, said, well, why don't you try going to physical therapy first? And I started going to see Dr. JJ. She is unbelievable. I never thought I would see the kind of results that I have seen from physical therapy working with Dr. Jennifer Joseph. She has been an absolute game changer for me. On like a scale of 1 to 10, I would tell you my pain was 14. Like, it was that bad. And when you have neck pain and like pain like in your neck and your shoulder, man, it just – everything is painful. Every time your car hits a bump, you feel it. My pain's gone from like obscene to one. I have full range of motion on my neck. I no longer have any restrictions in the how high I can lift my arm. I no longer have the numbness in my arm. I got the strength back in my arm. I'm able to do things again. I used to have to make a business decision whether or not I could have a catch with my kids over the summer. I went kayaking. Couldn't go. I never thought I'd be able to do that kind of thing again. And it's really all because of Dr. Jennifer Joseph at Get Physical RX. So whether you deal with loss of strength, loss of range of motion, balance issues, anything like that, joint pain, you need to go see Dr. JJ. That woman will change your life. 346-386-6683. 346-386-6683. Go to getphysicalrx.com. Getphysicalrx.com. Go schedule your time with Dr. JJ. That woman is a game changer. The Astros and the Lastletics, no score. They're in the bottom of the first. It's Hunter Brown and James Kaprielian tonight. Tomorrow it's Framber Valdez against undecided. They haven't announced who their starter will be tomorrow. It won't be Paul Blackburn. He was an all-star for them last year, but he made his last rehab start on Wednesday, so he won't be ready to go tomorrow. Blackburn is actually a guy who's probably going to be a trade target. And because he's an older pitcher, he's not making a lot of money, but he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. He's kind of a fifth starter type. Probably a guy you can get pretty cheap, somebody to watch. I'm convinced that the Oakland A's might have the dumbest owner in baseball. Have you seen the rendition of the stadium they want to build in Vegas? It's a 30,000-seat stadium that is not enclosed in the desert. First of all, why are you building a 30,000-seat stadium? Why are you building a stadium 12,000 seats smaller than everybody else? Number one. Number two, how do you not have an enclosed stadium in the friggin' desert? I get stupid is as stupid does, but holy hell. Imagine playing in Las Vegas Saturday in August to 112 degrees. Friggin' insanity. Yeah. They might be complete idiots.
That whole stadium might shut down from overheating. I could just see like something like the TV screens just like melting.
Aaron Hicks was released by the Yankees today. I feel like somebody should pick him up just to have him teach them how the Yankees steal signs. Because you know the Yankees are stealing signs. Use them for the intel. In fact, get the intel and then waive him. Who cares? But somebody should, you know, can you get him on a minor league deal? Can you get him on a minimum deal? I mean, the Yankees are paying him $10.5 million this year, and they still owe him another $20 million. So you ought to be able to get him for, you know, minor league contract, major league minimum. Just have him teach you the Yankee system, how they're stealing signs. so that you can bust them and then punt them. Who cares? I have no issue with that. I did like Laramie Tunsil and Titus Howard both tweeting at DeAndre Hopkins. Hey, yo, feel like coming home? I would love to see DeAndre Hopkins back in Houston. It's not going to happen. And realistically, if the Texans wanted to make it happen, they could have traded for him. They could have said, look, we'll give you a sixth. Because you know what? Arizona just released him for nothing. Could have said, hey, we'll give you a sixth. D-Hop had like $19 million this year, but none of it was guaranteed, which means you could rip it up, give him a brand new contract. Give him a 3-year deal, lower his cap number. He'd be happy getting an extension and getting more money. But, you know, they're not going to do it. And I don't know that, look, I don't think D-Hop wants to be here. He's an older player. He wants to win. So if he goes to Kansas City, their offense is going to be broken. Mahomes, D-Hop, Kelsey, Kadarius Toney. That offense is going to be broken. It's going to be like when you have the all-star team and you're playing on rookie. It's cold in Kansas City, though. It's colder in Buffalo. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins. How about Lamar Jackson, OBJ, DeAndre Hopkins? Man, wouldn't it be great if Lamar Jackson got to have the same kind of weapons all the other great quarterbacks have, plus his running ability, kind of even the playing field, so that Lamar has real receivers? That'd be interesting. I don't think he's going to the Patriots. Bill Belichick has rules. DeAndre Hopkins don't like rules. But man, they got balls out on Sundays. It's going to do it for us for tonight. Appreciate my man Jay Chevy on the other side of the glass. Our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. Love talking with you guys. Hope everybody has a great holiday weekend. This show is back on Wednesday. We're all off on Monday. Soccer Matters on Tuesday. We're back on Wednesday. After next week, we're going to be changing, though. We're going to be on Tuesdays. Soccer Matters is going to be on Thursdays as we get into June. So we've got a little schedule change. We'll still be on 4 nights a week. Appreciate everybody here. Coming up next is the 2-time Hall of Famer, Booker T. Is the boat, Brad Gilmore. The Hall of Fame is coming up next on ESPN 97.5. Have a great weekend. East Town!
ESPN 97.5.